The 100 Years' War, the Duguesclin period, the problem with unemployed soldiers in 1375. Now, of course, with the truce taking place, a lot of soldiers were, shall we say, unnecessary. Well, the outcome of that was almost the exact repetition of the disasters which overcame Arnaud de Chavoux's attempt to lead the French companies into Germany in 1365. Instead of joining Aragon de Coucy at Sundgau, the company split up into some 25 separate groups and rampaged over Alsace and Lorraine, burning and looting open country, blackmailing the cities, extracting patis from those that they left alone. The population fled to the walled towns and castles with all they could carry. They referred to their tormentors as English. The very word became synonymous with violence and looting, although few of the attackers had ever been in English service, and most were known to be Breton from Brittany. It took nearly 2 months to gather these unruly tribes together under Coucy's banner. By then, Duke Leopold of Austria had arrived to direct the defense of his domains. Large garrisons had been raised by all the major cities on the Rhine. Every crossing of the river had been blocked. Balked in his original plan, Coucy was compelled to take his ramshackled army further south through the passes of the Jura Mountains and across the valley of Ahr into the Swiss cantons of Bern. The defenders cleared the countryside of men and supplies and destroyed what they could not take, as men had learned to do in France. As a result, the army was left to wander about the region without an enemy to confront, spoils to take, or food to eat. They broke up into small groups, forcing the defenses of the smaller towns, burning villages, breaking into abandoned houses and monasteries, and making empty demonstrations of force outside the closed gates of walled towns. By the end of December 1375, the men of Bern launched a series of ferocious surprise attacks against detachments of Coucy's army, slaughtered a large number of them. Owen of Wales was caught with his own company, and a large part of the Breton contingent escaped around the Cistercian convent of Fraubrunn, north of Bern. Several hundred of them died in the burning wreckage of the convent or were hacked to death by the furious Swiss as they tried to escape. On January 13, 1376, Coucy made his peace with Leopold in a small town of Fottweiler and turned back empty-handed for home. His army, some 4,000 men-at-arms, with great mobs of angry, leaderless, and hungry followers, were left to fend for themselves. They flowed back westward in the Alsace, inflicting appalling destruction on the region as they passed. Charles V was forced to raise another army under Marshal Sancerre to head off those who seemed intent on re-entering France and keep them beyond its borders. Sancerre raised the banner at Rheims on March 1, 1376. The Breton companies turned away, heading south. For 2 months, Sancerre kept them on the Empire side of the Saône and the Rhône River, shadowing them from the west bank as far as Vienne. Part of his force continued the pursuit to Pont-Saint-Esprit. In the course of March and April 1376, most of the Breton companies arrived back where they had started in the northern march of the Papal States. They were joined by fresh routier bands from Languedoc, mostly Bretons like themselves. These men had been paid the equivalent of a quarter franc hearth tax by the estate of Languedoc to leave France. In April, they marched across the bridge over the Rhine at Pont-Saint-Esprit. At the end of the month, there were some 5,000 mounted routiers and perhaps the same number of hangers-on crammed into the Comitat Vassien north of the papal city of Avignon. Some of these exiled veterans of the wars of France melted into the countryside, making new lives in the imperial territories beyond the Rhône. Many more must have slipped and found their way back to their homes in Brittany and other parts of France. But as in the 1360s, the ultimate destination for most of them was Italy, where the endemic wars of the papacy against the cities and the despots of the north offered evergreen opportunities for professional warriors in one of the richest parts of Europe. Sir John Hawkwood's company of English men-at-arms in Italy, which had come to Italy with the first wave of English and Gascon mercenaries in 1362, was by now undisputedly the largest and most effective mercenary company in the peninsula, with some 2,500 men-at-arms and 500 archers. Injury and a disease had taken its toll on Hawkwood's men, and many of them must by now have been Italian, French, or German. But the officers and the council of the company were certainly Englishmen, and it is clear that a steady trickle of English recruits must have been reaching them from England and Gascony. The famous English condottiere was well informed about the progress of negotiations at Bruges and understood perfectly the implications for Italy. Quote, "You will have plenty of trouble on your hands if peace is made between England and France," one of his lieutenants told the ambassadors of Florence, end of quote. In the winter of 1375-76, the fortunes of the papacy in Italy were at their lowest point for many years. Gregory XI's representatives in the peninsula were locked into a fresh war, this time with the Florentine Republic. Most of the principal cities of the Papal States had rebelled and joined forces with Florence. Urbino rose in November, Perugia, the seat of the papal vicar, in December. Viterbo and Oviedo followed. In March 1376, the papal vicar lost control of Bologna, principal papal city in the Romagna, and the northern Barbican of the Pope's dominions. In desperation, the Pope turned to the free companies. Sir John Hawkwood, the principal condottiere in Gregory's service, was pressed into service against the recalcitrant cities of the papal state. Bernard de La Salle, still the leading light among the Gascon companies operating in southern France, was called into the Pope's presence at his summer residence at Pont-sur-Gaz, north of Avignon, and persuaded to undertake the task of taming the Florentines. He crossed the Alps with a company of about 1,000 Gascons in about November of 1375. In the spring of 1376, with most of Cusset's companies from Switzerland encamped in the Rhone Valley at Gregory's back door, the Pope resolved to add their numbers to the horde of brigands operating in his name in Italy. Gregory appointed a new legate to represent his interest in the peninsula, Robert, Cardinal of Geneva, son of the Count of Geneva. Robert was a ruthless, worldly, ecclesiastical politician, then aged 34. He struck a deal with the two leading Breton captains in the Rhone Valley, Jean de Malestroit and Sylvester Boudes. They agreed to take command of all the routier companies then accompanying the Pope's dominions in France and leading them across the Alps. The total strength of this main force, by Italian estimates, was between 10,000 and 12,000 men, which was comparable to the largest armies that the English and the French had deployed in France since 1369. Somehow, money was found to pay their advances. At the end of May 1376, Malestroit and Boudes made their way out of the Comtat into the Susa Pass, the greater plain of Lombardy. These events rid France and the French-speaking regions to the east of most of the free companies who were not established in garrisons, but they achieved very little for Pope Gregory XI. The cities of Italy had learned much since the first great military migration from France in 1362. The native Italian companies were better armed and organized than their predecessors, and the inhabitants of the cities were better at defending their walls. In principle, the Cardinal of Geneva had between 15,000 and 20,000 mercenaries at his disposal, but ambition and jealousy got in the way of his attempts to coordinate their movements, and none of them would undertake any major operation while their pay was in arrears, and it generally was. Hawkwood made a private truce with the Bolognese and withdrew. The Bretons and Gascons prowled about the walls of Bologna, destroying farms and vineyards until the beginning of 1377. When lack of pay and supplies forced them to withdraw eastward towards the Adriatic coast, where they joined forces with some of Hawkwood's followers and supported themselves by looting. The result was to provoke fresh rebellions against the Pope's authority in one of the few regions that had remained loyal. The sack of Cinsa in February 1375, in which a combined force of English and Breton mercenaries massacred an estimated 4,000 citizens as the Cardinal of Geneva urged them on from the citadel, was shocking even by the standards of a region hardened to the atrocities of professional soldiers. Rhyming verses in which a French poet celebrated the deed reveal all the contempt of an aristocratic cardinal and the band of professional men-at-arms for the menial townsmen who refused to feed and pay them their pains. Quote, "Strike and kill, strike and kill," Sylvester Boudes is said to have shouted at his men at Cisna as they passed through the streets, paved underfoot with the dead and mutilated people of the town. End of quote. So, our routiers are just as bad as they were in the 1360s. So, let's see what happens when the English return to Bruges. Now, the sources for this, The Hundred Years' War, The Chronicles by Froissart, The Hundred Years' War by Perrois, The Hundred Years' War by Nylans, and The Hundred Years' War, The House Divided, Volume 3 by Sumption. So, I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.